You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We are in the middle of a season of mercy. We're calling it the culture of mercy. This is a three-part series that we're calling a season. And we're taking it from Exodus 33:13, which is the foundational scripture of mercy culture, where it says, teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. So we're in a season or a series right now called Teach Me Your Ways, which we're teaching the ways of God. So I taught the first part 4 weeks ago. Here we are 5 weeks later, and I'm on part two. And we're gonna be in this three-part series or this season throughout the rest of the year. Last week, so if you didn't listen to this or you just came to the church last week, it's on the podcast and you can get all these messages. So part one of the ways of God was knowing the Holy Spirit, because it's impossible to know the ways of God without knowing the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm gonna start in part two of the ways of God, and I'm gonna be talking on the title or the subject of unity. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 133, or text the notes, or look up on your screen. And if you're there, it says this, Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. Verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the Mount of Zion. For there, someone say there, there the Lord commands a blessing, life forevermore. Here's what you need to know this morning. When you dwell in unity, not only do you experience corporate encounters with God, but you experience personal encounters with God. The title of this message is The Ways of God, Part Two, Unity in the Spirit. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare, have your way in this place. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying. Father, we declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. And Holy Spirit, we say you're welcome. Father, we thank you for taking us into your holy of holies, the holy place this morning, the tangible presence of God. And we want to stop and we say thank you. We know that you take us into your presence through thanksgiving and praise. So we say thank you for your tangible presence that's here every single week. Lord, I pray right now that you would teach us your mercy culture. Lord, I pray, Father, no one came here to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said amen and amen. Unity defined is the word yod, which means this, to make or declare one, to become one. My definition of unity is simply this, if you're taking notes, to become united with the perfect will of God. I'm gonna say that again, to become united with the perfect will of God. We see this example when Jesus prayed in Matthew 6:10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. We talked last week that your will is in competition with God's will, or 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when we taught the first series. So how do you know the ways of God is the Holy Spirit is going to help you. And when you realize that his ways are higher, his ways are not your ways, it positions you to seek his ways and not your own. Let me explain a little bit about unity. Unity is a unitedness or togetherness. It means to be all together. 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you agree and there be no divisions among you. Say no divisions. That you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Now here, I'm gonna say something bold. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay to live in disagreement. I'm gonna say this again. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay to not be in unity. There's a big difference. Someone asked me, they're like, well, do I have to agree with everything to go to Mercy Culture? I'm like, no. If Heather and I had to agree on everything, we wouldn't go to the same church. We don't agree on everything. spouses are like kicking each other, punching each other, elbowing each other, giving each other the people's elbow. You're doing all sorts of stuff right now. Because no, you don't agree on everything. But we've made it about agreement rather than making about unity. Agreement has to do with your relationship with people. Unity has to do with your relationship with the Lord. See, listen, it means to have a heart that is toward unitedness. Say that with me. Say toward unitedness. Ephesians 4:2 says, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. Are you looking at the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? In love, eager to maintain unity of the Spirit or the bond of peace. Unity means we lean towards each other, not away from each other. So it's pretty much the opposite of Facebook. Where you could say anything and the first comment is what?
I disagree.
You're like, Chick-fil-A is the best. They're like, I disagree, it's Cane's. You could say, I love Starbucks. They're like, I disagree, it's Kraftwerk's. I love it. I mean, whatever you say, someone's gonna disagree. This was the best movie. I disagree, I hated it. Heaven forbid you post a scripture and let all the Facebook theologians surface to the top. Let me just help you. If they're an apostle on Facebook, you probably don't want them as your friend. I'm just saying that. I'm just throwing that out. That's pastoral advice. I just want to help you. When my Facebook friends get full, I just go through and delete all the apostles and the prophets and then make room for real people. Anyway, okay. But it means this. It means to have a heart that leans towards it, not away from it. So if the first thing that comes to your mind is how you disagree with everyone and everything there is to disagree with, then you're not leaning towards unity. You're leaning away from unity. Come on, just lean into somebody right now this morning. It means this, to be in one accord. Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, but a three-cord strand is not easily broken. Now, do you know there are strands of unity? So when I'm in unity with my wife, we are a double-cord strand. When we're in unity with the Holy Spirit together, we are a three-cord strand. But here's the thing, is that discord breaks the strands of unity. What is discord? When you go to people and try to sever unity or agreement. You notice that the Pharisees did this, where they went to Jesus to complain about his disciples, and then they went to his disciples to complain about Jesus. Because the Pharisees were full of devils. Kind of like a lot of church folk who go to this person to complain about this person, that person to complain about that person. It's quiet in this Spirit-filled Holy Ghost church. You may speak in tongues. I just want to make sure that you don't speak in devils either. Man, it's quiet. Come on, I'm saying this as a pastor. I love you. I love you. I just want your tongue to be powerful and not a double-edged, a two-edged fork. Pastor, I don't speak in tongues yet. That's okay. Just stop gossiping and we'll get it together. Come on, hear this today. When you talk about people, you are sowing discord. You are creating strife. Matthew 18 says to go to your brother, not go to 10 other brothers about your brother before you never even talk to your brother. Come on, I will. And people say this all the time, and God hates this, and he hates alcohol, and he hates this, and he hates atheists, and he hates this, and they're doing all this stuff about what God hates. And let me tell you what God hates. Proverbs 6, those that sow discord amongst the brethren. That's not even in your notes. That's free. He hates it. I'm gonna say this nicer. He hates it. He doesn't like it. But many of us do it because we don't have a revelation of unity. Unity creates power. Unity is community in action. And I'm not talking about us all marching in the streets of Fort Worth holding hands with a giant sign. I could care less where you march if you're not in unity with the Holy Spirit. Makes no difference. You can march all day long. But unity has to be between you and God first. But here's what scripture says. It says that one puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. Unity has to do with every area of your life. Genesis 2:24 says this, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united or becomes one with his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, it's important to speak that the only definition of marriage is a biblical definition of marriage, and America cannot redefine what it never defined. That by saying, if you are struggling with your sexual identity or you even identify as gay or lesbian or whatever adjective you want to add on to the end of that, I want to let you know you're welcome here. You're welcome in this community. This is a church for you. Can you put your hands together and amen? But we're going to teach on what the Bible says marriage is. It said only can a man and woman become one flesh. And it says it's powerful because the Bible declares it to be unity. But here's the problem, is many individuals let their unity in their marriage be broken. Mark chapter 3, verse 24, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a family or a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. You think that your issues are the problem. Your issues aren't the problem. Heather and I have issues. Every family has issues. Every marriage has issues. It's the unity that's the problem. This is important. See, if you're not in unity with your marriage, you misrepresent the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. When I was praying and fasting and leading into this weekend, I felt in my heart that I was supposed to challenge every married couple to go and have a conversation today, tomorrow, tonight, within the next 24 hours. And ask each other, what areas in your marriage are you not in unity? Identify it and then begin to pray about it. And I'm gonna talk about that more. If you're a married couple, husbands, lead the way. Why is it they have 24 hours? And then you say, Pastor Landon said. Listen, I want you to hear my heart. It's okay to disagree. It is not okay to not be in unity. Heather and I were in an absolute, massive, major disagreement leading into launching or even thinking about pastoring in Fort Worth, Texas. The Lord spoke to me and started pricking my heart. The Holy Spirit started nudging me. And so I started talking to her. I started talking to Pastor Steve about it. And I said, hey, you know, this is what's stirring in me. And she said, you said we were never gonna pastor. I'm like, I know I said it. I'm the one that knows what I said because I said it. And she, and we're having this dialogue and we were living in Austin. We had bought a piece of property. We paid off the property and we were in the middle of the process of building her dream house that she had been hand drawing for 2 years. And then the Lord speaks to me to plant a church in Fort Worth. And I could come to her and say, hey, just kidding. What we've been working on for the last 4 years, just joking. And so I started talking about Fort Worth and then she would say to me, well, are you praying about Austin? I'm like, no. And I was driving to Fort Worth to pray and I'm on my fast and she's like, how come you haven't prayed in Austin? You're driving 3 hours each way just to go pray in Fort Worth and you haven't prayed in Austin once. I'm like, fine, I'll pray in Austin. Fine. But the Lord already spoke to me that we're going to Fort Worth, but I didn't want to tell her what God said. I wanted God to tell her what was in his heart. So I go to Austin and I take my son, Preston, he's 2 years old at the time, and I'm walking downtown the streets of Austin, and you know, the Austin, they're all keeping it weird. And so I'm walking in the streets and I go to the intersection and there's a guy across the intersection and he's wearing JNCO jean shorts. If you're not over 30, you have no idea what I'm talking about. JNCO jean shorts down to his middle calf, a white tank top, black sunglasses, and a black cat on his shoulder. Not a parrot, not a bird, a black cat. And so I'm like, man, that's an interesting feller. Keep Austin weird. And I'm just walking in the intersection, and I'm a planner. I like to know where I'm going. You know, we go to Disney World. I'm like, what time are we leaving? I just want to know where we're going, where we're leaving. I want to know. And so I see him walking at me. And if he's walking at me, I just move the stroller aside and like, you know, you're in my lane. Get in your own lane. And then I turn it over, and then he stands in front of me again. And then I turn it again, and he comes in front of me, and I turn it again. And we're like, so you think you could dance in the middle of this intersection? And we end up in the middle of the intersection together. And he reaches down and he tries to grab my 2-year-old. I feel like I'm supposed to be transparent before you. And my first thought was not to pray for this man. The next thing I knew, he reached down to grab it, and I had kicked this guy as hard as I could. He goes spinning around. I pull my son out of the way, and I square up with this guy, and I'm about to go UFC Mortal Kombat on him. And then all of a sudden, there's like 30 people around yelling at him, and he goes, I'm a prophet, and I bless children. I'm like, homie, not this one. No, you're not. So you're like, Landon, how'd you learn to rebuke people in church? By doing it in the streets of Austin. So I get home, and it's like Heather was waiting with supper ready and everything, and she got done selling houses and everything and candles lit, and she's looking fine. And we walked to the door, and she goes, how did it go? I'm like, about Austin. I fasted for 40 days. On the 15th day of the fast, I got down on my face. I was like, Lord, I can't start a church without my wife. I know a lot of pastors do. I'm not. Okay, that was a little savage. All right. On the 25th day of the fast, we were with Diane Jackson downtown. God spoke to Heather. She turned to me and said, has God spoken to you? And I told her everything God told me. She started weeping, and she goes, he's spoken to me too. Told her about Russell's dream, told her about everything. She said, why didn't you tell me? I said, I was waiting for him to speak to you. Here's what I was doing. I was waiting for unity. Now watch this. It started with my wife, but it continued. You know, everybody loves the culture, the atmosphere of Mercy Culture. Even people that aren't from spirit-filled backgrounds, okay? They're like, I don't like all this spirit. Whoa. Feels nice in here. Is that girl up there single? They like the atmosphere. It's her birthday. She's single and ready to mingle. She'll meet you Saturday night at a coffee shop. She'll be playing. Just saying. I'm her oversight, so I'll be waiting in an alley with a black cat to meet you. Hey, come on, unity, 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 unity. I'm totally lost right now. Watch, unity went from my wife and I to our elders. People say they walk into Mercy Culture. Maybe some of you are here for the first time, and you're going to get in the car, and you're going to tell whoever brought you, is it like that every week? And you're going to turn to them and say, yep, pretty much. Because the presence of God is in this church. But I'm going to show you why. It's not accidental. It's not just like, all right, Lord, I'm going to give this one, this church, my presence. I'm going to show you why. So Heather and I get in unity. And then our elders, we fasted and prayed. We met together, and we had one vote. And there'll be one vote in the history of this church, and we already had it. So if you're a voter, this might not be your church. And the vote was this, that we do everything in unity or nothing. You modeled this after Gateway Church's government. They said, what do you mean unity or nothing? It means we will be in unity or we won't do it. I had a pastor challenge me once, and he's like, so you mean to tell me you will disobey God if your elders, some men, don't agree with you? I'm like, no, I believe that I'm not the only one on the planet God speaks to. Whoa. Obviously you do.
So we say we're gonna be in unity or nothing. Why? Because we would rather give up everything else and have unity than gain everything man could want or churches could want, but not have unity. And let me tell you why. Because unity is where the presence is. So watch this. It went from our elders, then it became a standard of leadership. So if you're at Mercy Culture and you go through MC Connect, you'll hear me teach on this. That is a standard. If you want to be a leader in our church, you have got to get the revelation of unity. You have to be in unity. It's a culture here at Mercy Culture. We say it as one of our cultures, but it's not just a culture here at Mercy Culture. It's actually a culture in heaven. Because unity is not an agreement with each other. It's an alignment with heaven. See, when you think of unity, people think about unity with man, but I want you to think about unity with God. The Trinity is a picture of unity. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. Unity is God in agreement with himself. Matthew 27:50, when Jesus cried out again, with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. The Father charged Jesus in the garden. He said, not my will, but your will be done. Then he yielded up his spirit. The three Godhead are ministering together. They're operating in complete unity. Jesus said, I only do what I hear or see the Father do. I only say what I hear him say. God operates in unity. And watch this, the fullness of God's presence, it will only be found in unity. Could you imagine how it would look if God wasn't unified? Can you imagine if like Jesus was like the rebellious son that had to save the world? And he's rebelling against the Father, and he's mad because the Father sent a dove when he's being baptized. He's like, Dad, a dove? I asked you for a falcon and you sent a dove. All my friends are gonna think a dove is lame. I'm serious, can you be mad if Jesus was mad at the Holy Spirit? He's like, my time hasn't yet come. His mother says, do whatever he tells you to do. And then he's doing the miracles, but while he's doing the water into wine, he's mad at the Holy Spirit. He's like, I told them, you're undermining me. I told them publicly my time hadn't yet come. And now you're making me look stupid and I'm the savior of the world because you're making me look bad. Just think for a second. How ridiculous would it look? That's how ridiculous church looks. That there's church splits over the color of carpet. Good news for you at Mercy Culture, we don't have carpet. I didn't like that song today. We could care less. Because Jasmine and the team fasted and prayed all week about the song selection. Churches are so divided. And it's not because they don't agree with each other. It's because they're not in unity with the Father. I'm gonna show you how powerful and how important unity is. I'm ahead of schedule, sweet. Psalms 133, it says this, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters in Christ dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron running on the collared robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commands his blessing. I'm gonna exegete this text. It says this, behold. That word behold in the Hebrew means it's rare, it's unseen, so stop and hold on to it. When you find unity, you have to hold on to it. Because most people fall prey to its imitation. Its imitation is actually compromise. And most people think they're in unity when they're actually in compromise. And let me just tell you this, enemies make compromises. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, trying to get him to make compromises when the assignment from the Holy Spirit was to find unity. But most people, I'll give a little, you give a little. Okay, I don't like this. And we're trying to, in our marriages, we're trying to make agreements, compromises, rather than get into unity. Unity sounds like this. It doesn't matter who is right. What is God saying? Because remember, unity is not between people. Unity is between man and God. Okay, keep going. The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Excuse me. Next thing it says to dwell. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell. That word dwell means this in the Hebrew. It means to remain, dwell, abide, inhabit, occupy, or marry. See, dwelling is the place of intimacy. But most churches can't sit long enough to even find intimacy or dwell. At Mercy Culture, we say we don't make room for the Holy Spirit. We give him the room. What we're saying is we want to dwell. We want to hear him. We want to know what he thinks. We want to know what he wants. We want to be intimate with the Lord. See, if you're taking notes, please write this down. Unity requires intimacy. Intimacy with the Father. Here's what it says. It's like precious oil. What is precious oil? It's anointing. Or to describe it even further, it's the presence of God. This is so important that you understand this. Unity creates the presence. You didn't just walk in here and randomly find a church that's filled with the presence of God. You walked into a house that its leadership is in unity. That we have fought for unity. That we have beheld, we've held on to it. We've declared it to be precious. We've dwelled in it. We've been intimate with it. We have sat more times than I could count asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want? Where do you want us to serve? Where do you want us to go? Where do you want your church to be? You don't know how many buildings I've driven around asking the Holy Spirit, is this the one you want? How many schools we've gone to? Lord, is this the one that you want? Is this the place you've chosen for your house? Lord, what do you want? Because I don't want to be a part of a church that the Holy Spirit isn't pleased with. So I'm not trying to be in agreement with you. I'm trying to be unified with him. I'm trying to be intimate with him. I love this. Watch this. It says, the oil went from the head to the beard down the robes. You know what that means? The anointing spreads through unity. You know what I'm believing for? That it goes from my house, from this house to your house. The Spirit of God spreads. The anointing spreads. The presence spreads. But it doesn't spread randomly. It's not a disease that's out of control that just goes random places. The presence follows unity. And guess what? It lifts with discord. Man, I traveled to a lot of churches over the last 10 years as an evangelist. And I went into a lot of houses that don't feel like this. And then you hear the people gossiping, complaining, fighting, arguing, and no one ever quotes Ephesians 5:10, find out what pleases the Lord. It's how we're leading pleases the Lord. It's how you running your business pleases the Lord. It's how you're managing your family pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases him. And here's the thing, is when you get in unity, that anointing spreads. And here's what it says, it commands a blessing. I love this. Declaring the blessing without unity replaces God's commands with your demands. I'm gonna say that again. Declaring blessing without unity replaces God's commands with your demands. You could demand the blessing of the Lord all day long, but unity invites it. Blessing follows unity. So let me just summarize this. I will not give up the blessing of the Lord over my life. So I will fight and contend for unity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you've been blessed by the presence of God at Mercy Culture, just wave your hands at me. If any time you've been blessed about, okay, you enjoyed the presence. Here's what I'm saying, is it's been birthed in unity. That's where it came from. That's where the power is. This is one of the ways of God. Teach me your ways. If you want to know what God's doing, if you want to know where he's going, if you want to know what he's saying, if you want to live in a mercy culture, in a culture around the presence of God, you're going to have to fight for unity. Now here is the revelation of unity. Ephesians 4:3, it says this, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Watch. Make every effort. Can I just, Pastor, you today, are you even trying? Or have you just said they're either with me or they're not? Well, Scripture kind of says that. It says, choose this day who you'll serve. If Jehovah's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. Are you with God or not? Because when you are with God, he commands his blessing over your life. Now watch this. When we trade, this is the revelation of unity right here. When we trade our will for his will, we enter into unity of the Spirit. For 10 years, I said I would never pastor until I traded my will. Heather and I were on a date a couple months ago. I just said to her, I said, babe, there's no amount of money. There's no opportunity. There is nothing that can pull me out of what we're doing right now. I love it so much. And the second I said it to her, I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's my perfect will. We never even tried to enter unity with each other. That wasn't the goal for me to convince. And you know, Fort Worth's really charming. And they have, great tacos and all these. That wasn't what it was. And Austin's weird, you know that now. That's not what it was. It was me pursuing what the Lord wanted, her pursuing what the Lord wanted. We abandoned our will. She gave up her dream home that she'd been spending years working on, through thousands of dollars invested in. And we said, it's not our plans. Father, it's yours. And watch, it put us into perfect unity with each other, because here's the revelation. When you're in unity with God, it automatically puts you in unity with each other. It's not about convincing people. Acts 15, 28, it says, for it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. That's how unity works. It was so funny. Jasmine called me a few years ago, about probably 4 years ago. And she said, hey, what are you doing? She's like, I'm kind of in transition. I'm like, nothing. We're evangelists. We live in Austin. It's weird. We're just doing this. This is what we're doing. It's great. And she's like, oh, okay. And then the Lord spoke to me about planting the church. I called Jasmine. I said, hey, what are you doing? What? I prayed for 40 days about who the Lord wanted in this house. And then I said, hey, I prayed. Would you go pray? She prayed, watch, and God unified us. It wasn't like, hey, I got this for you, and I can do this, and we can do this, and you can do that, and you can do that, and these are all the perks. It wasn't that. It was go pray. We were in unity with the Father. She was in unity with the Father, and it perfectly aligned us in unity with each other. Huh. Unity is so important. This is very important that you hear this spiritually, because it unseats the spirit of competition. Why is it competition? Because competition is when your will is competing with the Father's perfect will. Now I want to teach you for the next few minutes how to remain or dwell in unity. Five things to dwell in unity. And don't be overwhelmed that I said five things. I'm going to do five things in 7 minutes. Here we go. These are practical applications. Worship team, come and join me. Number one. Forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another, forgive one another. I want you to know forgiveness is not an option if you want to be in unity with the Holy Spirit. And here's what forgiveness looks like, is you do it once and you thought you did it.
Disciples went to Jesus and said, how many times do we have to forgive? Up to 7 times, Jesus said 70 times 7. As many times that makes it insane that you never stop. As Christians, we don't stop forgiving. I'm gonna say this another way. This is how you can not be in unity with the Holy Spirit, is if you don't forgive. Forgiveness automatically leans you towards the Lord. Forgiveness is showing mercy. Number two, daily encounters or daily pursuing his perfect will. This is the vision of our church, to go from corporate encounters with God to daily personal. So what does that look like? Pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Don't repeat it, don't recite it, pray it. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Put it on a t-shirt, as in Fort Worth is in heaven. Declare it, he has a t-shirt company. Declare it every single day, not my will, your will. Man makes a plan, the Lord orders his steps. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Plan a business, give it to the Lord. Plan your strategy, plan your ministry, give it to the Lord. Continuously, every day, say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking, but I give it to you, I submit it to you. I want your will to be done, not mine. Here's what I'm gonna teach you. If you daily pray to be in the perfect will of God, I promise you, you'll find it. No matter how stubborn you are, if you daily pray this, you will find the perfect will of God. Number three, through giving. Through tithing, through offerings, through giving. The action of the Bible is to give. If you have a problem with giving, you have a problem being unified with the Lord. Acts chapter 3 says a man, I believe this is Acts chapter 5. I believe that title is wrong. It says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and his wife's knowledge he kept back for some from himself. Some of the proceeds that he brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3 says this, but when Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back from the proceeds of the land? Why it was remained unsold. Did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When you give, you're not giving to a church, you're giving to God. I teach more about this later, but I do a Tuesday Q&A, and someone asked me, they said, I don't trust what my church is doing with the money. And my response was, it's funny, because do you ever say that about Apple? Or Kroger's, or Tom's, or any other restaurant, or good Lord, a mattress firm. There's one on every corner. What are you guys doing with this money? If you wanna talk to me later about mattress firm conspiracies, I'll be in the foyer. Listen. Here's what it says. If Satan is in your heart, you're not in unity. He said, Satan has filled your heart and greed has set in. You want to be in unity with God? Give. What do I give? Everything. Give your time. Give your energy. Give your finances. Give your talents. Give. And when you begin to freely give like Christ freely gave, you will find yourself more and more in unity with him. Number four, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you have not heard my message from 4 weeks ago, the gift of Pentecost, it's on the podcast where I teach for about 55 minutes on just praying in tongues, but praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll give you one scripture here today. Ben, you could start playing. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches his heart knows what is in the mind and the spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I hear this all the time. People are like, well, I don't know what I'm praying when I pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, exactly.
you're praying the perfect will of God. I pray in the Holy Spirit every day. If you're ever in a prayer meeting with me, you will hear me pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Holy Spirit constantly. Let me tell you why your pastor prays in the Holy Spirit. Because I read the Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So if the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who was one of the greatest pioneers of the gospel to ever walk the face of the earth following Jesus, who wrote under the power of the Holy Spirit this book that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto his eyes, if he was able to withstand prison and beating and stonings and shipwreck and opposition and standing before Pharisees and Sadducees and corruption in the church and political leaders and all these things, and God spoke to him so clearly and he said, I do this more than anybody. I think there's a secret there. That when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are praying a perfect prayer that aligns you. And here's the coolest thing, according to scripture, the Spirit prays with you. You know what that means? Every time you start praying in the Holy Ghost, you and the Holy Spirit just have a little prayer party together. If you don't have that gift, just ask for it. People say all the time, well, if I just had that gift, if the Lord wanted me to have it, he would just give it to me. Well, you didn't say that about salvation. If the Lord just wanted me to be saved, he would just save me. He's a good father. He loves giving gifts. Just ask. Number 5, the last one of today, repentance. Man, you want to find yourself in unity with God quick? Repent. You know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin is pride. The Bible says God opposes the proud. Satan fell from heaven, O morning star, because of his pride. Pride is the thing that keeps you from repenting of anything. You want to be in unity with God? Repent. Part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said every day, I repent every day. I find things to repent from. And then the things that I don't even know I need to do, I ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart for what I tricked myself that I thought I was cool with. David said, search my heart. You know what he was saying? Show me what I've lied to myself about. Show me what I've deceived, what I've partnered with deception. I've partnered with the lie. Show me what I need to repent of. And here's the thing is when you begin to repent, you automatically align yourself with heaven. Today, we're going to close this service with repentance. Every single person in here, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? We're not inviting you down to the altar. No one's gonna lay hands and pray over you. This is just you and God. Is there anything in your life right now? Is there any habit? Is there anything on the internet? Is there any relationship? Is there any attitude? Is there a heart condition that you need to repent of? Maybe you've never repented before and you've never asked Jesus in your heart. Right now where you're at, you don't need someone to lead you. Just say, Jesus, I want to serve you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you in my life. Maybe you've been serving the Lord for 30 years, but there's someone you haven't forgiven. Or maybe you forgave them 30 years ago, but it rose back up in you and you need to forgive them again today. Would you just repent to the Lord right now? There's not a human being in this place that doesn't have something to bring before the throne of grace today that you might receive mercy. The mercy seat is not embarrassed of your sin. It's not afraid of your sin. It was created for your sin. Maybe you've just been harsh with your family. Maybe you've allowed the busyness of life to distract you from your personal time with the Lord. Maybe it's been months since you opened your Bible. Maybe it's been years since you've given to the house of God. I don't know what your thing is today, and it doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is today that you get in unity with God. Right where you're at, just spend the next 10 seconds. Whatever it is, just ask the Lord to forgive you. He's so gracious. He's so kind. He's so merciful. So Father, I pray right now. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I pray that you would align us with unity with you and unity with each other. Open your eyes.
God never enters into unity with your will. You enter into unity with His perfect will. And I'm closing with this. This is the best part. When you dwell in unity, not only do you experience corporate encounters with God, but you experience personal encounters with God. When you're in unity with Him, it's easy to pray. When you're in unity with Him, your living room feels like mercy culture. When you're in unity with Him, your apartment becomes an altar. When you're in unity with Him, you forget you're driving 35 and all of a sudden you're caught up. When you're in unity with Him, you encounter Him. As I was praying for you and for this service this morning, I felt like we're supposed to end this time of worship together, taking Holy Communion. So if our hosts will go ahead and just serve the people. Communion is for any believer. And when you take communion, you're supposed to search your heart and align your life with heaven. The great news is we just did that. In this communion set, I kind of make these convenient. There's a top film that you could open and it exposes whatever that is that is trying to be bread. And then there's a little juice. It was once juice. It may still be juice. Some of you might have wine. It's been sitting there. I don't know. I'm joking. Why don't you just get it ready? Nobody take it yet. Just get it ready. The hosts are coming as fast as they can. If you have your communion, why don't you just close your eyes? Why don't you take a big breath? Breathe in the presence of God. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit one question. Is there any area in my life that I'm not in unity with you? Jesus said, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. He gathered the disciples together. He took a bread and he said, this is my body that will be broken for you. He then took of the cup. He said, this is my blood that will be poured out for you. He said, every time you do this, you remember the cross. Every time you do this, you remember mercy. Every time you do this, you're empowered by my grace. I felt so strong in my spirit as I prepared to minister this week that this service and this message was so imperative to the future of mercy culture and your lives. Every head bowed and every eye closed, they've gotten communion. There's been a demonic attack against the unity between you and God. I heard this in my spirit. There's been a divine distraction. And I pray right now that every distraction from the enemy is exposed. And I pray for perfect clarity. With your eyes closed, I just want you to picture yourself right now with the Father. You're in his presence right now. We entered into the holy place in worship. Right now in your heart, would you just get in unity with God? Could you just get in unity with the Holy Spirit? Would you invite him to expose anything in your life right now that has taken you out of unity with him? And I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, I declare, I prophesy over our house that this will be a house of unity. This will be a place where marriages are restored. This will be a house that prodigals come home. This will be a house that people that have been broken and hurt in ministry will be healed, restored, and sent back out. This will be a house of the presence. This will be a house of power. This will be a house of healing because it has begun from the inception as a house of unity. And I declare right now in this moment for unity to go from the head of the pastors, of the eldership, down the beard, down the robes, to the body, to the leadership, to the serve team, to every single members, to people that are visiting for the first time. I pray the anointing reaches you right now. I declare right now the presence reaches you right now. I declare the Spirit of God aligns you with himself. Right where you're at, whenever you want to, the worship team's going to start playing. Just go ahead and take the bread and take the juice whenever you want, whenever you want.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.